I must admit that I am self-conscious preaching about stewardship in the church when I know there will be brand new people visiting a service. So if you are a new person here, I encourage you to imagine that you are the guest in a home and that you are being invited to come into the kitchen. Imagine that you are at the kitchen table and you can hear the family describing how things get accomplished around here. And after they talk about that, somebody offers you a piece of cake. And that is what is happening. That is what is going on when we talk about making a pledge to support our staffs, our programs, our mission. Thank you for being our guest at the kitchen table as we do this. In this congregation, pledging and giving are voluntary decisions. Of course, everything that happens here is voluntary, from choosing to make that first visit on a Sunday morning to deciding to come back, to making a commitment to serve on the board or to serve coffee after service. With regard to pledging, it's everyone's decision to give and how much and whether it's possible to stretch in our giving. Here is my own decision and how I think about it. I set a goal of giving away 10% of my gross income every year. I support causes and communities that embody my values. I give to organizations that serve needs larger than my own. And guess what? UUSS is at the top of my list. For the coming year, which starts in July, I will pledge $440 a month for the people, programs, and mission of this congregation. It feels like a stretch, but it also feels right. A few factors are important to this decision of mine. First, I am able to make it. I have realized that this pledge level will not hurt my style of living or my security. Next, I care about how the money is used, and I know it is used wisely here. I know the people who work for this congregation, and I want them to be compensated well. I love the children and youth of our church, and I care about how we serve them. I remember the people beyond our walls, people who need our support and our voice. So for me, as well as for you, the stewardship campaign is an invitation to reflect on what we care about, consider our circumstances, and make our own commitments. Have you heard about our stewardship theme? This year, it's powering our commitment to love, justice, and healing. In other words, our generosity powers our commitment to those goals and those values. Yet when I think about our congregation, I realize that it works the other way around also. It is our commitment to those values which powers our generosity. Love, justice, and healing are the goals and the values that inspire us to be here, work together, and give generously toward our mission. May I give you a few examples? 2 years ago, thanks to the urging of teenagers in this congregation, we considered putting up a Black Lives Matter sign on our property. To do this, we took a few months to talk, learn, listen, and then vote. The result is the banner which reads, "Black Lives Matter Here." In those conversations, we heard from youth, elders, young adults, and middle-aged folks. We heard questions, concerns, insights, and hopes. We heard stories and statistics about the dangers facing Black folks and other people of color in this country. And we learned about the real experiences of our congregation's friends and family members of color. We also heard of the painful experiences of church members of color living in the dominant culture of this country. All that listening led to a majority vote of yes. Then we designed the banner and installed it. As a congregation, we are learning how to stand behind our banner's message, continuing to listen, study, and show up, finding ways to support local leaders of color as they lift their voices for Black lives. Things are in progress toward this aim, and you could let Reverend Lucy or me know if you're interested or if you have questions. Black lives matter here. That banner was out there in front for a full year before I got a call about it. Finally, one day I heard a phone message on my voicemail. The telephone showed the name of a woman I didn't know. She said, "Hello, I saw your sign. I'm calling to object." She did not like us highlighting the particular plight of Black folks in this country. She put it rather awkwardly. "You should not be favoring only one kind of nationality." She went on expressing her disagreements. Of course, she had not been here with us to see us do the careful work of discernment, of learning from one another. She's never been here, and I don't think she'll come. "You know our website is on our banner." She said, "I went to your website and I saw what kind of church you are. That's not right. You should be a church based on Jesus Christ and the Bible." "Well, we do have a Bible study class beginning here in just 2 weeks, but I bet that caller would not like our approach to it." Both of her complaints about us were familiar to me, but I just hadn't heard them for a while. She concluded her message with respect, "Thank you for hearing my opinion," and she hung up. I had the sudden urge to call her back. If I had, I would have said, "Thank you for noticing." Indeed, I was happy to hear that somebody had been challenged by seeing our commitments. And I was happy that a look at our website revealed to her what is distinctive and notable about UUSS. If I had called her, I'd have thanked her for noticing that. But on this morning, I am thanking you for making this congregation so distinctive and so notable for our commitments and our values. Thank you. It seems to me that love, justice, and healing are not separate commitments. They are overlapping and united. Here's a good example. Our Kids Freedom Club meets after the service today. For the past few years, this growing bunch of UUSS kids and youth has been learning about modern slavery, people in our world caught in debt bondage, human trafficking, and more. The kids have been raising our awareness and raising money to get people out of slavery. They are powering our commitments to love, justice, and healing. Another example. Volunteers for the refugee support team at UUSS are teaching English classes to refugee women while providing childcare for their kids on our premises. Our team coordinates volunteers, it raises money, it holds drives for kitchen supplies and drives for computer equipment to help new neighbors get settled in this area. Our team has learned that most of the new refugees coming to Sacramento are from Afghanistan. In most cases, a member of the family receiving a visa used to work for the U.S. military over there or for another part of the U.S. government over there. Hence, in their home country, they are at risk. Our donors and volunteers are giving a warm and loving welcome to these new neighbors. I think you could name your own examples of our commitment to love, justice, and healing. Some folks find healing and inspiration in our music. Some of us love Theater One here, acting in the cast, building the set, serving backstage, or sitting in the audience. Some love the visual arts on our walls here and the lush landscape outside and a walk in the labyrinth. For me, it's the coffee. And I know the people who prepare our coffee, our brew crew, are not merely doing it for caffeine for themselves alone. They are doing it for love. They are too shy to tell you, so I'm doing it for them. Yes, it is our commitment to love, justice, and healing that powers our generosity. I want you to know one more thing. By supporting the ministers and staff here, through your generosity, you power many opportunities of love, justice, and healing that you may never see or may never know about. Here is one that I want you to know about. It's the first Friday in January, and I'm writing my sermon, and I get a phone call. Will I participate in a memorial service at a local Muslim congregation? The background story is tragic. On New Year's Eve, a father murdered his two young daughters while they were on a weekend custodial visit with him, and he killed himself. Apparently, killing his children was one last act of hostility by him against his ex-wife, their mother. It is a young Muslim family, and they have been active in the largest and most progressive mosque in our area. A close UU colleague of mine in another city has put me in touch with a local woman who serves as president of the board of that mosque. Her name is Anne. I've met her on several occasions at interfaith events. In fact, last fall she spoke here at a forum on climate change sponsored by our Interfaith Earth Justice Committee. On the phone, Anne tells me that they've already had a funeral and burial for the girls, as is Islamic tradition. Their request now is for an interfaith event for the whole community. The girl's mom wants a celebration of life. She wants to celebrate every dimension of her daughter's brief lives. Moreover, this grieving young mother grew up in a Unitarian Universalist family in another city. Her family members are here now, and my participation in the service could be healing for them. It would be a way to honor that part of the girl's family heritage. Yes, I say, I'll do it this coming Sunday evening. Anne will coordinate the service and lead it, but other community leaders will speak too, including their imam, who is the clergy leader of the mosque. Arabic verses from the Holy Quran, the Islamic scripture, will be recited by a young Muslim woman who has just earned her doctoral degree in environmental science. My job will be to offer some words near the beginning of the program and to say a closing prayer after the community sharing open mic time. Also, they want me to bring the chalice. This chalice, our chalice, and to light it for the service. In a later phone conversation, I learned more about these children from a family member. They were Girl Scouts. Did you know that the second largest Girl Scout troop in this area is the troop of Muslim girls? The first largest Girl Scout troop is Buddhist. In addition, the two girls were active in their congregation, as is their mom, and everybody loves them. The girls cared about people, especially those enduring hardships, hunger, and homelessness. In demonstration of their care for nature and of their enjoyment of the beach and camping, the girls raised awareness about the plight of the natural environment and the need for action for the earth. On Sunday afternoon, after church and a meeting here at UUSS, I arrive at the mosque as darkness approaches. The event is in their community room with a crowd of people sitting on risers on one side and a podium and an oblong table with a cloth and flowers on top of it on the other side. Over the PA system, Anne speaks, "Welcome and thank you for coming. Please come out to the courtyard first." We go outside to witness a Girl Scout friendship circle, a time of remembrance. Wearing their green vests, covered with medals, girls of all types make a circle, and we are behind them all around. A few plastic pinwheels stand in the grass, spinning in the wind. Adults and children speak words of gratitude for their lost friends. The tradition for a friendship circle is to release balloons in the air at the end. But Anne explains the girls would not have wanted that. Helium-filled balloons can travel and end up as trash in the sea, killing birds and sea life. So instead, the crowd of girls is blowing soap bubbles. As the circle concludes, we hustle inside, away from the cold air. The formal program starts inside, and I am third to speak. I speak about this occasion, give condolences on behalf of my congregation, and say a few sentences about the girls. I offer a prayer. Then I introduce our chalice and light it in silence. For the next 90 minutes, leaders from the mosque and other organizations offer their words. These two sisters had friends from all walks of life, in the Scouts, their school, neighborhood, and mobile home park. They used to help their mom when she managed the bookstore in the mosque. They had lovely smiles. They were loving. This open mic sharing goes on for a while. Then we watch a slideshow of adorable images. The more I see and hear about the girls, the more I learn about them, the more I think how much they have in common with our kids here at UUSS. Then I realize they're gone. It's unbelievable. After my closing prayer and shaking hands and saying farewell, I take the chalice and go home. I don't know if my participation has been healing, but it was appreciated. A few days later, Anne sends me a message thanking me for my words and my openness to the last-minute planning involved. "Of course," I reply. I thank her for her warm and gracious leadership. She offers for her mosque to make a donation to our church for my presence. She writes, "I know the clergy service comes from the heart, but I also know that congregations need to support clergy financially for their services, and this is very important. Please let me know what an appropriate amount is to donate and where to send the check." I reply to say I didn't expect anything. I say, "No doubt I will be asking a favor of you in the future, and I hope it can be for a happier occasion. So you should consider my participation to be a gesture of friendship." I wasn't speaking only about the connection that she and I have developed. I meant it was a friendship gesture from our congregation to theirs. I was there as one person, but I felt that you would have wanted me to be there. And in addition to bringing our chalice with me, I was bringing you with me. I was bringing the love, generosity, and care, and the healing wishes that I know are so abundant in this congregation at UUSS. I want you to know this. Thank you. Love, justice, and healing are not separate commitments. They are overlapping and united. They are not separate, but I'm going to end with love, because I love you. And because I know that your love, generosity, and commitment are bringing people together in community, into this community of depth, beauty, vitality, and joy. It is your love that powers this community. and I know that your love extends beyond these walls. So may it always. Amen, and blessed be. Thank you.